email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So later today we'll find out what the new living with COVID plan is when Micheál Martin will announce it. And one of the things, as I said, is that there's going to be a change in the priority list for vaccinations. It looks like people with underlying health conditions will be moved up the vaccination list. But one group are asking why they're not being mentioned in all of this. And they are carers, family members who care for loved ones around the clock. Aisling McNiff is mum to Jack. She is his full-time carer and she's on the line now from Crumlin Hospital. How are you doing, Aisling?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, good to talk to you again.
You too. Lovely to talk to you.
Yeah, I suppose it's not good if I'm talking to you and you're in Crumlin Hospital. How is Jack?
No, we're not sure, actually. He's having a load of tests. He's in with unexplained pain. So we're just waiting on tests. We've been in since last Tuesday. Right. So, yeah, that's where we're at.
I've met Jack before. He's now 15, which is hard to believe. And he, as I say, he needs 24-hour care. And he's complex needs, doesn't he? And he's complex conditions.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He has Down syndrome. He has a rare auto-inflammatory disease, which causes really painful arthritis, among other things. He has severe to profound ID, so he's non-verbal. He's a wheelchair user. He's immunosuppressed. He's tube-fed around the clock. He has mild scoliosis and hip dysplasia. He has chronic lung disease, and he has a heart condition which needs further surgery.
Right.
So, yeah, he has a lot of issues. He's a complex little man.
Yeah. And we say little, since I saw him, it could be 10 years ago now since I saw him.
He's still little, actually.
He's still little, right.
He's still kind of in 6 to 7 year old clothes,
right,
you know,
okay,
so he still looks small.
Yeah. But still, he's heavy enough when you lift him from A to B.
Yes, he's actually put on loads of weight in COVID like the rest of us. So he's actually 23 kilos now. He got weighed there the night before last. And he was 19.6 before in March, say, last year.
Yeah.
So he has put on 4 kilos, which is a lot for him. Like, usually it would take him a few years to put on a kilo. So just because he's not been going to school since March, and he's not, he's also not been particularly well, so he's not been mobilizing much, which he'd normally bum shuffle around a bit. And
yeah,
he'd also use his wheelchair in school and stuff, so he's just not doing any of those things. So
right,
it all takes effect.
In a normal situation outside of COVID, would you get some sort of respite?
Yeah, I would have 4 nights nursing a month from the HSC, and I have he goes to Laura Lynn, and he goes to Hazel House in Laura Lynn, usually once a month for 2 nights.
Right.
So that all kind of changed. I was afraid to get my nurses in, so I haven't been getting my nurses in, and he couldn't go to Laura Lynn. They had to close respite for 6 months.
Yeah.
Now, he did get to go September, October, November, December. And then actually the week before last, I ended up having to send him for crisis respite for 5 nights because I hurt my back. So that's the first time in 8 years.
And are you
years
on your own caring for him? Actually.
Yeah, I'm his sole carer.
Okay.
Yeah. So he had to go to Hazel House for crisis respite. And it just kind of, like, that's exactly what would have to happen if I got COVID and I became very ill. He would have to have crisis respite. And if there wasn't room for him, say, in Hazel House, where would he end up? Would he end up in hospital? Would he end up, God, you know, you really don't know. Would he end up in a nursing home? Like, you don't know these days where what would happen, because our health system is already overwhelmed. And it would be, in some cases, totally inappropriate for his needs.
Yes. And have you talked to doctors about if Jack was to get COVID?
Yeah, they still say they're not so worried about kids, but I mean, you know, same time, like, I know myself, like, Jack was in ICU only in 2019 with flu pneumonia, and anytime he's got flu, he's very sick, and we all get vaccinated because we are prioritised because of Jack, so we all get the vaccine for flu, and so does he the minute it comes out.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, because everyone in school say doesn't get vaccinated, he still can sometimes get it.
Yeah.
And he ends up very sick every time, so like, I could imagine him getting COVID would probably, you know, it probably would mean that he probably mightn't survive. So it's obviously not somewhere we want to go.
No. So you were calling on the government, Stephen Donnelly, yeah. Micheál Martin, everybody else involved, yeah. that carers as a group, is it, should be
yeah.
shifted up the priority list. So you
shifted up. We don't feature on the list.
Yes, right. So you're not even recognised as a cohort,
no.
as they say, right?
Exactly. And there's 500,000 carers, actually, not 100,000. So there's a lot of carers in Ireland, saving the state billions, you know. And many of us, like me, care 24/7, with very little support in this whole pandemic. So, you know, when we heard that the vaccine was coming after Christmas, we were all really breathing a sigh of relief, thinking, oh, at last, you know, things might return to a little bit of normality. But for families like mine, and like, remember, he's under 18, so he's not going to be getting the vaccine. So yeah. I'm his next person that needs to get the vaccine to protect him. So it looks like we'll be cocooning until God knows when, September or later.
Right.
And so that's not very nice thought.
No.
Like our mental health are, you know, have taken a hit, you know, because we're not able to do anything. It's been a really hard year with such little support. And like, he's not going to school either because, you know, I'm too nervous. And like this, it makes economic sense even to vaccinate us, because what if we do get COVID and children and adults with needs like Jack end up in hospitals or nursing homes or crisis respite like Laura Lynn? Like, and remember, there is only one Laura Lynn who looks after kids
which is very sad.
Yeah,
like I did the maths on it a few years ago, and if you extrapolate from the number of Laura Lynns they have in the UK, we should have 4.5 in this country, and we only have one. And that was a few years ago when I did that. Jack there in the background, you're in.
That's Jack humming and hawing in the background
in Crumlin Hospital. Like, I've spoken to you before, I've spoken to numerous carers, and you alluded to it already, is the amount of money that carers save the government and the brilliant work they do. And we spoke to somebody in the States, and actually, you know, what they offer in some states in the United States of America is that you would go and you get a qualification and then you're paid accordingly, you know. But the other sort of implication of that, where we are now, is that you would be then deemed as a frontline worker and you would have been vaccinated.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my mum's cousin is in Michigan, and she said that carers like me were vaccinated alongside healthcare workers. So, like, you know, that's the way it should be. But we're not even looking for that. But we're looking to get up to maybe number four or number six. Where number four is other healthcare workers who are not in direct patient contact. So we are in direct patient contact. So we should definitely be there. And then number six is key workers. So, like, why can't they put us in either of those groups? Or even if, and you know, Stephen Donnelly has been saying this over and over again, that we're a diverse group. What group isn't diverse? Like, that's a stupid thing to say. And if he wants to embrace that diversity, why doesn't he split us up then, and the people with more vulnerable children, put them in number four and put the other people in number six? Like, instead of saying, oh, they're a diverse group, let's not deal with them. You can't just blank a group because they're diverse.
No.
But every group is diverse.
And what's your understanding, Aisling? Have they considered making carers a group and prioritising when it comes to vaccination?
Honestly, no. Not engaging about it, and this is the, like, I've written.
I'm actually I'm shocked.
Since
I'm,
the I'm, vaccine I'm, list came out.
I'm shocked.
Yeah,
I'm actually really shocked that hasn't been considered by the government.
But you know what? We're always ignored. I mean, even, you know, the PPE, we didn't get PPE. We didn't get COVID testing, rapid COVID testing, that type of thing. That was all, you know, the carers were ignored. And then if you think of a case like this, a working paid carer who, say, is working for an agency, say she came in to mind somebody 4 hours a week, she's going to get the vaccine.
Yes.
But the people that care for that child or loved one for 24/7 are not.
Yeah.
So, like, how does that make sense?
No, you know, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And
no.
And this is the thing, and I've said it to you and I've said to other people, that the fact is that you are so occupied, and the fact that you can actually advocate for carers is an amazing thing, because you use all your energy, both physical and emotional, minding Jack, doing what you do. So to then go and fight for him publicly is another thing that most people can't do. And I don't know if they consciously know that, but maybe subconsciously they know that, that you're not really a threat.
Yeah.
It's not going to affect.
We're the low-hanging fruit because we can't get out and we can't protest. And so we always end up getting the breadcrumbs from the table and putting up with it. But, like, you know, we are trying, and, you know, Catherine Cox and Family Carers Ireland are really, really advocating hard for this and for a long time. So, like, we're really hoping. Like, and then there's another scenario we haven't mentioned. So what if I were to get COVID and say Jack is in care or whatever, and what if I died? What would happen then? Like, these are the kind of situations that carers think about all the time.
Yeah.
And there is no plan for that, you know, so that's another worry. Like, so, you know, we have really valid concerns, and to be fobbed off so much by the government, it's really not nice, and it's been happening a long time. We get fobbed off all the time, but in this case we just can't take it because we need the vaccine, you know, and carers can't wait.
There is one thing, of course, and this comes up over and over again. They don't know whether people who are vaccinated can transmit or not transmit the virus. So they know they know now that the vaccine prevents you from getting sick, very sick, but they don't know if it prevents you from transmitting the virus onto somebody else. So that could be an argument.
No, but there have. Yeah, but yeah, there has also been articles saying that in hospitals where they're all vaccinated, that there is no transmission anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that it's all looking very good, very positive.
Yes, yeah.
And like, sure, look, I'm here. We've been cocooning for a year, and here we are in hospital, and we could see 30 people a day in hospital. You know, if Jack needs bloods, which he needed bloods every day since last Tuesday, except for today, and he's has to have, you know, five of us, well, four of us, say, in the room, like, basically holding him down and singing to him and doing whatever else. And so, like, you know, I'm at risk, he's at risk, and the healthcare workers luckily have their vaccine, which I don't begrudge, they should have it. But for them to say, that's another thing Minister Donnelly has said, and others in government have said, but we will do the vulnerable first, and we're not looking to take away from the vulnerable.
No.
We're looking to be recognised and put on the list, because we're not even there.
I'm just thinking about that amazing speech that Mike Ryan from the WHO made when he was receiving an award from TROCRA last Thursday night into Friday, where he talked about developing countries and, you know, countries like Ireland should think about sharing their vaccines with developing countries.
Yeah.
And it got a huge amount of traction, and people were, you know, and he was on again, and he said it again on the news yesterday. And I didn't get a chance to ask him, and I probably never will, but how does he suggest we do that? And if in a country like Ireland, where we're not looking after people like you, and you say the 500,000 people who care for vulnerable people, like, you know, surely we should be doing that first before we look outside of the country.
Yeah, and a Fianna Fáil TD answered me the other day on Twitter saying that they're not ignoring us, but they're rationing it. So, you know, they're rationing the vaccine. But, like, look, even if they're rationing it, we should still be on the list.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make sense not to have us on the list, you know. And we're down at, we're in with the general public at number 14. And, look, there's people
just getting it on due to your age. So you're just like an ordinary Joe Soap like me. Like,
yeah, exactly.
And I know that there are hundreds and thousands of people listening now who would, you know, readily give up their vaccine. I'd like to think there are anyway. To give it to carers ahead of them. Like, I would definitely do it.
Actually, somebody did offer me theirs on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't think that's possible, though. They're not transferable, are they?
No,
they're
not transferable.
No, no.
No, but, like, very kindly.
Yes, yeah.
And, you know, and I've had people from the north of Ireland say, is there anything we can do? And there's a group who you know, they lobbied up in the north of Ireland because they had a similar issue, but now they were bumped up, so they're okay.
All right.
And,
so they,
know,
in other countries...
If we had taken... Yeah, but if we had taken an all-island approach in the beginning, this would all be better anyway. Like, why can't the governments grow up and get on with it, you know?
Yeah. No, and then you see certain politicians giving out about, you know, people coming in through the airport, and the same politicians who would argue if you tried to do anything on the border. But there you go, that's another, it's a long historical story that we won't get into here. It's absolutely imperative that family carers are placed on the priority list. As it stands, they are nowhere to be seen on the priority list for vaccinations. It makes absolute sense for them to be vaccinated at the same time as those they are caring for. If a family carer gets sick with COVID, it will place enormous strain on both the person they're caring for and their families, says George in Wexford Town, as you said. Listening to your show from North Carolina, we had our first vaccine 3 weeks ago and getting our second one this weekend, as our daughter has type 1 diabetes and we are our main carers. We are eligible to get the vaccine early. Take care, says Laura. And I'm a full-time carer for my husband with a carer coming in daily for an hour and she has been vaccinated. It doesn't make sense. My need falls into insignificance when I listen to that lovely lady, says Mary, but still you have a need, Mary. I live in Northern Ireland and carers exactly like your caller there are currently being vaccinated. It seems unfair and confusing. Regards. So there. Yeah. And so it's not going to happen today anyway, is it? They're not going to pull
There's
a rabbit out of
that. There's a cabinet meeting today, so we're hoping that they'll mention us at least. I'm really, really sick of being ignored. And that lady there, one of the ladies there that texted in said, like, we should be vaccinated at the same time as our loved ones, but remember the under-18s aren't getting vaccinated, and my son is in that category. So I think that...
And even though he is all of the things you listed, he still won't get vaccinated.
Okay. No, and like we don't even know, like I asked his immunologist here, we don't know if he reckons they will eventually get vaccinated, but we don't know. It has to be licensed. And first of all, we have to get enough vaccines into the country to vaccinate all the other people on the list. So kids are way down the end as well, you know. So like, who knows?
Okay. Aisling, good talking to you. And I wish I could wave a magic wand and solve it, but that's not the way the world works.
I know. Thanks so much, Ray, for highlighting it.
And give Jack a hug for us. Thanks,
Thank
Aisling.
You. And
Thank
remember, you. Carers can't wait.
Yes, carers can't wait. There you go. Carers can't wait.
Thank you.
See you, Aisling. Bye.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.